roll on now. You'll hear the final whistle shortly from Fergal Kelly of Longford, and there it is. 23 points to 113. It's the 85th time that Kerry have won the Munster Senior Football Championship.
Conor Gleeson, this is outside the Mayo 45. This to win the Connacht title. This to win three in a row for Galway. The goalkeeper has sent it between the post and over the bar. They are gone mad in Galway.
Oh, serious drama. Hello there and welcome to the programme. Last weekend, Munster and Ulster had their day in the footballing spotlight. It's Leinster and Ulster's turn this week. We look ahead to those games and the opening weekend of the Tailteann Cup shortly. It's also a blockbuster weekend in the hurling championship down south. Whilst Antrim tried to take Dublin's scalp in the Eastern Province. Plenty to discuss on the championship.
Desi Moan is 45 minutes out from goal. Very high solo for Moan, getting around the challenge of Paddy McGrath. He winds up for the shot across the face of the goal. And the man lurking with intent close to the goal was Kieran Hughes. It's somehow being kept out. Monaghan still have possession. Winding up for the shot is Kieran Hughes. He takes his point. They'll be happy with that point. A great start for Monaghan. 50 seconds gone in the second half. They're showing no signs of changing their intent. They lead by 6-2.
And it's with football we start. That's one of the scores from Monaghan's historic win over Donegal 11 years ago as they ended it. 25-year wait for a provincial title. And joining me now to chat about the game this weekend is former Monaghan player Kieran Hughes, who shot the lights out that day and indeed that year. Kieran was a stalwart for his county over 15 years, winning two Ulster titles, and he joins us now. How are you doing, Kieran?
All good, Damien. All good. Now,
just before we start, for all our listeners out there, how's your brother doing? How's Darren? We were up at the Cavan game and picked up a nasty injury. And just how is he?
Yeah, Darren's the type of guy that just gets up and gets at it. There was a bit of an argument out last week with him, and it was just the truth been told.
Yeah,
he's a couple of kids there to keep him busy. There's bails been done at the house there. He's back in the tractor. There's a fella around the road helping him out with an automatic tractor, and he's just the foot up, and the tractor does the business after that there. But don't get me wrong, he'd go through maybe a couple of wee moments of wondering, you know, what's the next phase, but. For the time being, you know, in terms of a farmer's life, it's very busy with the weather being good, and you have to just get up and get at it, and no feeling sorry for yourself, and that's just the reality of it.
You see, people forget Kieran. Like, everybody just thinks of Darren Hughes and Kieran Hughes, the footballers, but people forget they're, you know, family men. You're family men. You're workers. You've got stuff to tend to on the farm as well. It's not simple, is it?
Yeah. And what the easiest thing to do sometimes is give out about it, but football's been very good to the two of us, and we'll never forget that. Like, and I still think that there's plenty of good days ahead. In terms of Monaghan, that mightn't happen, but it's hopefully you might see him back in grass in the next 3-4 months. But he'll be meeting the surgeon again in the next 4 to 5 weeks to see will he have to open up to do anything. Like, but me knowing Darren, you know, genetically now he can recover very, very quick, and he's moving the body the whole time about the farm. So fingers crossed. Look, it wasn't nice to see. Nobody wanted to see it, especially a man at that stage of his career. Like, but that's football and that's sport. Hey, it's happening everywhere.
Yeah, and a last question for you on it. I was sitting down, like, maybe right beside you on the day it happened. You were working for BBC Northern Ireland. You know, I just my thoughts went out to you immediately. I know you've soldiered together for so long. You're used to this, but for your family to look on and be worried, it's not a simple time either, Kieran, is it?
No, definitely not. No, it was a strange moment. It was actually one of my first games to attend most of the year there, so it was. You know, as soon as the final whistle went, one of the lads went in and got his bag, and there was me all of a sudden. Carrying his bag out to the team bus and ringing the team bus driver to open the doors to try and get his phone out of the back of the bus, and you're just like, you got home that night and you just sat up going, what is just after happening there in the last couple of hours? But as time moved on and the messages flooded through to his phone, like, and myself, now you realise there's a lot of deep support out there too, like, but life goes on. I mean, the next day there's something else happening out there, and that's what we just have to deal with.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, let's deal with footballing matters now. Less important, obviously, but just what's your gut feeling from the outset then? Is it time for Armagh to end the silverware drought, or will Big Jim work his magic again this weekend? Before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, what's your general thoughts, Kieran?
General thoughts are obviously been about football for so long there now. Like, there's nothing given or nothing handed out to anybody. No, I've heard the general consensus there during the week that, oh, surely it's time for Armagh to win something, but nothing's handed out. And unless they're fully focused and they have their matchups right and they really go for it, like, they're not going to win the game. And that's been Armagh's problem the last number of years, where when it's got to the nitty gritty, they haven't ended up, you know, doing stuff that's just off the cuff. And they've been there thereabouts, and fair play to them. Hey, they've really challenged teams at all levels there in the last 10 years. But, you know, he's coming to they're coming up against a Jim McGuinness managed side here, like, and that is not simple.
No, it's not simple. What has Jim done for Donegal this year, in your opinion, Kieran?
Well, I think it's probably plain to be seen that he's just built the belief in them. He's took them on a training camp in early December, and he's more or less put up on his whiteboard or his presentation going, who is there to fear out here if we can keep bodies fit and keep everybody on the field and tuned into a system here. And, you know, that's knowing Jim coming up against him years ago, he had everything sorted out. But he's going to know himself this week that this is a massive challenge. If Donegal starts slow again, which they have done in previous games earlier, they could find themselves in a bit of bother, because Armagh are fast starters, to be fair to them, and they come with a real energy. So it's going to be an interesting game, and it's tough to call. It really is, but whole gym factor is there now.
Yeah, you mentioned Armagh are fast starters, so, like, what way will this game set up then? On that note, I expect a dramatic but low scoring intense game, with maybe both sides keeping it safe at the back, but both sides are willing to express themselves too, Kieran, in different ways. Like, they have nothing to fear from their attacking structures either. So how will it shape up?
Yeah, looking at it during the week there, I think if Armagh sit back and invite Donegal onto them, that's the worst team you can invite onto you. It's a Jim McGuinness managed team at the end of the day here. They're going to be able to handle the ball well, get the ball to the right places, and they have shooters from outside the scoring zone. But one thing Armagh can do, say, from winning the throw-up, they really can go for it. They'll get a long kick in, because it's a man-on-man contest there. Like, but with Conleth Gilligan in there now, he's a shrewd operator, and a lot of people haven't really spoke about his impact in the thing, but it was a shrewd move by McGeaney taking him in terms of forward play. Like, he's on it, like, and he can see things straight away, and he's not afraid to get things changed up. I think it's going to be a nip and tuck game, but it might be that much different from the league final now, where it could be tight and then Donegal just pull away in the end up. I think the two teams are going in knowing that there's a lot to improve on here. But one thing I would love to see from Armagh this weekend is really going for it, just being brave, and pushing up on Patton's kickouts from a free kick or something, and just relying on Rian O'Neill and Ben Creeley to win their matchups out there. And there's four or five massive men are in the middle of field to challenge for baller in there. So it's all about who's got the hunger to get in and around the breaks and win it. Like,
I'll fire this one at you then before we move to Leinster, Kieran. If Donegal win this or lose this game, you get the sense to be able to pick it up and move it on. It'll be shocking hard for Armagh to pick up and move on. I know they have no choice, but especially with the baggage of the last few years, won't it?
Yeah, and the way the season is now with the group stages the week after that is so tough. If you lost an Ulster final 7-8 years ago, you might have had 2 weeks to down tools maybe for a few days. But it's very tough. Paddy McBurdy mentioned something last week about losing an Ulster final. It's not simple to pick up things after that there, and I've been there unfortunately as well plenty of times, and you try to, obviously, because you don't want the year to end so quick. But yeah, that'll be tough for an Armagh camp, but they picked it up last year after losing 1-2. They got the result against Galway that they needed, like, and that really gave them a bit of momentum, like. And football's a strange game, so it is. It's you just, on any given day at the moment now, you just don't know what's going
to
happen.
No, it's one to look forward to. In Leinster then, Kieran, I suppose just as regards playing Dublin, I don't believe that your county has got the credit it should deserve over the years in the way they set up against Dublin. Some fine displays and results against them as well. If you're allowed on Sunday, bearing in mind that they went at Dublin last year and got skinned alive in the end, how would you set up this time around now?
Oh yeah, $1 million question. Yeah, look, with Ger Brennan involved here, like, this is a massive one. He's going to know these players inside out like Hart and Gavin Devlin might have thought they knew them, but
yeah,
he's going to know some insights here and he's going to have his matchups picked up. Like, but if Dublin are focused for this one, Damien, there's simple as this, there's no other winner, and that's we could go on about this and write a book on it. Like, but Louth, in fairness, they have maximised everything there in the last number of years, whether it's under 20s or minors, seniors. Yep. They're getting the absolute maximum out of themselves, and they have to be given praise, and it can't be forgotten about. And that's regardless of the result Sunday. But in terms of the setting up, to answer your question, you can't be going man on man. No chance. But when you do get a chance to push up from a set piece or something, you have to be taking that opportunity too, because it's the best form of attack sometimes to give the backs a bit of a break.
Okay. One of the guys then that has stood out in the last year or two is Downs Pearce Laverty. He would like to be in an Ulster final on Sunday, Kieran, but he's not. He's in the Tailteann Cup. I had a quick word with him earlier this week.
Yeah, look, we fell short obviously last year in the final, but look, it's crucial to our development here now to go ahead and put a trophy on the table, you know.
Lessons that you're learning the whole time, what are they, Pearce?
You can take a lot from the defeats we've had in the last sort of 12 months, but I suppose you had to now go and learn from them and rectify things and put things right. So, as I said, just we need to be putting a trophy on the table. We want to be going to win this competition.
You're heartened by the fact that you're so close, you're making serious progress, a young team, but there have been harsh lessons learned along the way. That surely stands to you.
Yeah, definitely. Last year against Meath, I suppose the league final against Westmeath there this year, and the defeat to Armagh there last week was a sore one. Now we'll take a while to get over that, but it's all a learning curve, and we are making small progressions every year, and we want to be pushing on now and getting up the tables to mix it with the big teams.
And I take it there's no change in mindset switching from one competition to another. Is there to be one?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose, look, it obviously the week after, it does be a bit sore, a wee bit of a flatness about, but look, you had to pick yourself up and just go at it again in training. And look, we want to go and win this competition, so we'll be going hard at it this next few weeks.
Kieran, I was at the Tailteann Cup launch there earlier this week in Croke Park, and there were a few disappointed heads around, you know, players that would like to be in the Sam Maguire, but ultimately, yeah. What do you make of the competition? And secondly, would you have Down as favourites?
Yeah, I looked at it during the week. I mean, and you know, so I'm gonna have to give it serious praise. This competition, I think there's 78 teams who are going into this who think they can win it, which is fantastic, because you're obviously going into a Leinster competition and there's only one team there that's been winning it for the last 12, 13 years. So, Down as favourites? Not, I wouldn't necessarily say that. Going by their group, I think they're the easiest path through, and they'll be the freshest. But you've Kildare, Leitrim, Sligo, who narrowly lost to Galway, Antrim, who can beat any of them on any given day, and then Fermanagh and Laois here in another group, Wicklow, narrowly lost in the Leinster, and I don't know. I think if I'm in any of them dressing rooms, I'm thinking to myself, if we can get off to a good start here, get a couple of points on the board, you know, they'll not mind losing one along the way in the group stages, but if they can get to the quarter final, the semi, anything's possible now, and I'll be fairly interested now to see what happens in that cup this year, because the last 2 years nobody expected Westmeath or Meath to win it, and I think they've progressed, you know, nicely as well. They'd be very happy the last couple of years.
There's even talk of a third tier championship coming in time, Kieran, for maybe the Division 4 teams that may not have a chance of winning Tailteann. But I suppose, is the glory of this competition that it prolongs a bit of life for counties, that really and truly their league might be their best chance of winning something apart from this?
Yeah, I'd be ruling out a third tier without a doubt. Looking at the teams there, Damien, Waterford's after getting a Munster win for the first time, so now all of a sudden there's a wee buzz in their camp, and they're thinking going into this, hold on there, you know, looking at this group here, we could definitely get a point or two across the board here against Leitrim, Longford, Kildare, who knows, get them to a home venue, get a bit of a crowd around them, and then it's possible. Like, but no, the way them groups are fixed at the moment, I think any team could be looking in at that, going, if we can get a fast start here, like, and keep ourselves in the game, anything's possible. And there's a couple of dark horses there too that could, like Longford won World Cup start of the year. Nobody's mentioned them during the league, and all of a sudden they could have just said themselves, we'll get the Tailteann Cup and we'll give it a serious rattle, and I think that's the joys of this one, Nick.
Kieran, thanks so much for that chat. We'll definitely talk to you in the weeks ahead as well, and look after yourself. Thanks so much.
Appreciate that. Damien, thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's the great Kieran Hughes there. What a stalwart he was for Monaghan over a 15-year period. And best of luck to his brother Darren as well. Okay, let's switch to hurling now. It's another huge weekend in Munster. I'm never sick of saying that. And it's an interesting one in Leinster as well. And joining me now to look ahead to the games is former Limerick hurler Niall Moran to look at all the action. Niall, how are you and how have you seen the season so far?
Super, Damon. Really looking forward to Saturday. The weather is giving very, very good down in Cork tomorrow, so it should be a magical atmosphere. Always a great place to go. So, it's been a very entertaining championship. It's really setting itself up for a grand finale, I think, on the 26th of May. Could tomorrow be another little injection? It's quite possible. You know what I mean? I suppose for Cork, it's last chance saloon. They'll have been very disappointed, obviously, with how they performed against Waterford. Shot 125, but obviously, don't mean they conceded it on the other end, which has always been their Achilles heel, to concede 225. But I thought they played really, really well against Clare. And again, do you know what I mean? Any day you score 324 and you come out in the losing team, do you know what I mean? It's a strange one. And I just think Limerick would have to be on their guard. Complacency isn't the word you'd ever associate with Limerick, and it definitely won't be present tomorrow. But it's a tricky one. It's a banana skin because they are nearly qualified, and if you are a percent off at this level, you will be exposed. And so it's very important for Limerick tomorrow that they really bring their A game, because if they don't, Cork have the scoring power to upset them.
From a Cork point of view, if you're Pat Ryan, then, like, I hate using cliches in sport, but, like, they were unlucky enough last season, and it's certainly, it's not down to luck this year, but the margins are tight as well. You have to come off the rope swinging this time. What tweaks are what's Pat Ryan working on this week, do you think?
I suppose with the teams that we're chasing, and Damien, like, mentality is always going to be, like, people, when you look at the very, very strong teams, successful teams over the years, then obviously we always compare them to a team who've been successful with ultimate honours. And I suppose for this Cork team, obviously they've had a huge degree of underage success, but as we well know, it doesn't equate to senior success. So it's really not until they have a couple of big consistent wins in the championship that they really get that belief. And look, he has to change things around, because again, the Waterford game was a game where they should have been winning it. And I think if they had that real innate concrete belief that comes from winning, it's a game they would have gotten over. But because of their inexperience, they got kind of caught, they kind of got found out, whatever way you want to do it. But what you sometimes discover with a team like that are a fresh team to it, they will bring a huge fight when the chips are down or when they're being written off. And look, ultimately tomorrow they are being written off. So look, what do we see? Obviously, like, the Mark Coleman comes back into it tomorrow, Robert Downey, big halfback, Tim Mahoney. So like, they have a strong halfback line coming. I thought they were far more direct against Clare and how they played the ball. And obviously with a target inside like Alan Connolly at the edge of the square, and obviously Hoggy still loitering around the edges, and Brian Hayes, like, they have targets there. So I do think that they will look to go direct. I think previously when they've played Limerick, they've tried to maybe mimic some of what they're doing, and I think that physically they were not able to break down that middle third segment, because Limerick just physically dominate them. So I do think that if Cork can get that ball to what you term the delivery zone at county level, 50, 60 yards out, if they can get it in quickly. But key to that will be Patrick Collins, and some of his decision making the last day, you know what I mean, it was poor by his standards. So he will have a huge impact tomorrow, because you can be sure on the other side of it, Nicky Quaid will not get caught for poor puckouts.
No, he won't. And do you think there's a danger of going direct, Niall? I look at the Tipperary challenge a few weeks ago, and every ball that they went direct would just got mopped up by the Limerick rear guard.
It did, but I think, again, it's the kind of guys you have under it. And, like, when the nature of Tipperary's half-forward line, like, physically probably not as dominant. I know Gerard O'Connor is a big man, but, like, you have, like, Seamus Harnedy is an exceptional hurler. And,
yeah,
look, I've been amazed why he was taken off in both counts in the previous two games. I would never take him off, because even though he might be run out of steam for a little patch, he will always come good. But, like, he's a huge target there. Declan Dalton's a huge target. And who knows, even, like, someone like Brian Hayes might see a little bit of time out in the half-forward line. And look, they just have to get the ball there and go down a war zone, because ultimately, Damien, if you start to try and work the ball out against Limerick, their ability to cut it off at source is second to none. And
yeah,
I know it doesn't look pretty when you lose high balls, but sometimes you have to sacrifice it for the bigger picture of getting further up the pitch and hopefully getting into within scoring distance.
That's a fair point. Who has impressed you most for Limerick this year, Niall? Would it be one of the emerging guys, or who?
Oh, look, I suppose everyone's going to look to the fresh blood, and obviously Cathal Neal has been excellent in that capacity. But look, I suppose really it's the emergence of maybe some of the guys off the line so far. Yeah. Like, it's been very pleasant to see the likes of Adam English. Obviously, any guy who comes on and scores 4 points within 10 minutes in a championship game, Like, you can't, even though the game might have been dead rubber at that stage, it still counts for something. Donegal Dáilg has obviously done very well, but I think overall maybe is their ability to just keep on regenerating themselves. And I thought maybe the little bit of form that showed against Tipperary in the second half was very, very positive. But I suppose, again, they do have a couple of core components, and obviously we've touched on Nicky already, but Dan Morrissey at the edge of the square, and again, he's a club man and all the rest. He may be biased, Damien, but I do think he's a totem there, because if teams are to go route one, and as Cork might have looked to do with Adam Connolly, do you know what I mean? He's a very, very tricky guy to get a bit of change off. And I've heard commentary speak about say someone like Hugh Lawler being the best fullback in the country, and again, he is an incredible fullback, but I think Dan would give any of these fullbacks the run for the money over the past decade.
I take it that maybe Limerick might have one leg in the first three, but just say they do, who would you tip at this stage? What's your gut feeling, Niall? Who's going to make that top three to come out of Munster at this stage? And I know it's an unfair question because there's so much left to play for.
Yeah, well, obviously you think that, like, Clare obviously a close second to Limerick, and but maybe even on a par if we remove their kind of meltdown for the last 15 minutes in the first game. Obviously, you still have said Clare are on a par with Limerick, albeit without the All-Irelands to back it up. I think there's a little bit of intrigue about tomorrow's game, because I think maybe it's the kind of romantic in most viewers, but there's still a sneaky feeling that Cork might be the third best team in Munster. And if they were to get through tomorrow by hook or by crook, you'd be a fool maybe to write them off qualifying on 4 points thereafter. Like Waterford again, like obviously a great day, first day out, but the nature of that last, or that, I won't call it a loss, what felt like a loss to Tipperary, but like losing that 4 point lead, like it just raises an awful lot of questions. And I know coming away in the immediate aftermath, you'd never say that it raises questions, but I think if they were to lose the next day out, I think people would look back on that kind of last 3 or 4 minutes as a turning point in their season.
Okay, let's move to Leinster, because that's intriguing as well. There's hardly anything separating top from second bottom, and then in bottom place is Carlow, who've performed really well this year. So look, you've got we'll take Dublin Antrim this weekend. It's on Saturday in Parnell Park at 4 o'clock. Any chance of Antrim causing a shock there? And if they do, you know, that's wide open too.
Do you know what? It is such an incredible game, and it's just such a pity that, you know, I mean, we'd love to sit down and try and watch two, I won't call them the lightweights or the underdogs, but two of the lesser known teams. You'd love to see them get front and centre stage, even on a platform like GAA Go. But it's very, very interesting. Again, Antrim have blown their cover in the sense of in what they did in the previous game against Wexford. Yep. But like on Dublin have been very, very disappointing this year, Damien. And they've been very disappointing over the last 2 years, and there's no point in saying otherwise. And I'm not putting that down to a management. Again, if you look at Dublin's underage form in the last decade, it was very, very different to what it was in the previous decade. So like it wasn't a major surprise in the say 2010s and 2012s and 13s, etc., that Dublin were a really up-and-coming force. Again, even in 2013, when Clare won their All-Ireland, an awful lot of people at that time would have felt that probably Dublin were probably the best of the last four teams standing in that year's championship. So, look, Dublin have regressed an awful lot. There's no point in saying otherwise. Like, and injuries have played their part in terms of losing key men at various times. For Antrim, it's amazing that the year that started off in such a down, and the amount of guys that were stepping out of the panel, etc., and obviously the obvious retirement of Neil McManus, they really rallied the troops around it. And for Darren Gleeson to get that twist at this stage of his managerial career up there, normally when you're coming after 3 or 4 years, the results normally tend to go south, but he's still getting a twist off them. And I just think it's a major, major opportunity, and it could be a massive shot in the arm. And do I think that Antrim could win it? I'm going to put my neck in line, and I do think they can win it. I just think that confidence, they have that innate confidence. I'm going to put my neck in line and say I think they'll win, and also put my heart in line and say I hope they win.
Another county I have massive time for too is Carlow, and how they go about their business. A small number of clubs, as you know, Niall. Tom Mullally doing a fine job there under the radar the whole time. Not far off the mark in their opening two games. Look, they face Kilkenny in Dr. Cullen Park, Netwatch Cullen Park as it's called, on Saturday. How would you set up for that game?
Again, look, speaking of vacuum, I haven't seen him in person. And do you know what? It's awful to say, like, we would have played against Carlow at the time Limerick were back in Division 1B, and some of the hardest games we would have had were against Carlow. And the one thing I always said was, like, the hurling there and the likes of the Cody's, John, all these kind of guys there, Martin Cavan, all these, they're really, really good hurlers. And I suppose you'd nearly be ashamed at times to pass the judgment on a county you haven't seen. But look, they are, Tom and Addy has obviously proven themselves. And obviously he's proven himself as a manager over the last 4 or 5 years, and he'll know Kilkenny better than most. But again, look, I just think it's probably damage limitation. And maybe with Carlo, maybe you set up with plus one at the back. You ask everybody else to just go hell for leather and take your chances. And then I suppose one thing about Carlo is they do have good men in the air. So, like, look, they will go maybe to try and get it out route one. But if they go to overcomplicate it, you know what I mean? Especially against a team like Kilkenny, you'd be found wanting.
Just to switch then before we finish up, Niall. Galway have a lot of work to do, and Wexford, I suppose, up and down as well. How do you see the fortunes of those counties going forward in the next few weeks?
Interesting one. Like Galway again, there's doom and gloom around Galway on the back of a loss against Wexford. But, and again, the performance against Kilkenny was poor. Okay, but I suppose had they beaten Wexford, would we have paid as much attention to their poor performance against Galway? Maybe not. And I suppose results dictate narrative. And one thing maybe about that game last Saturday against Wexford, it was just set up for a poor Galway performance. It was in Wexford, 4 o'clock, long trip down on a Saturday. I don't think a whole pile of Galway people made it past Limerick because the Riverfest was on. I'd say they got cut off on the road down because you know what I mean. There was none of them to be seen, but. So yeah. Like that does impact on players. Like, there's no point in saying otherwise. And so sometimes as well, with the nature of a league championship, there is capacity for lads to be a little bit off of a day. As mental and all as that might sound, given what goes into it, it does happen, where as opposed to the do or die championship. So I still expect Galway to be in a Leinster championship. And would the narrative change hugely if there were to be Kilkenny in a Leinster championship final? I think it would.
Yeah.
In Wexford's case, I think... Like, again, if Antrim were to get that win there tomorrow, it does put them under massive pressure. And as I said, Key Roster has done a really, really good job. And again, like that, if you tune out for 30 seconds at inter-county level, you're in trouble. And in Wexford's case, they tuned out badly at the end of both games. And look, that's inexperience from the players' point of view as well.
Okay.
Look, do you know what I mean? So like they might live to regret it. So look, I would hold off and pass in judgment on Galway until I see them possibly in the Leinster final.
All right. Always great to chat to you, Niall.
Cheers, Damien.
Yeah, and we'll chat again in the coming weeks as well. That's it for this weekend, folks. Hope you enjoy the bumper games ahead. Huge thanks to our producer, Damien O'Mara. Harry Bookless was on sound. From myself, Damien Lawler. Mind yourselves. Thanks for listening.